from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Pray at all times and on every occasion in the power of the Holy Spirit. Always stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, February 19th, 2025. Kind of a happy, sad day, as this will conclude part 5 in our series with Pastor Rick Warren, Seeking God for a Breakthrough. We began part 5 last Wednesday, and we heard a portion yesterday, and it concludes today, Why Must I Keep on Praying Persistently? I've so appreciated the teaching and ministry of Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church, and I'm even looking at other options in the days ahead for Tuesday and Wednesday. Here's Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church emphasizing the importance of focusing on God and learning what he wants to teach us through prayer.
Patience is a mark of maturity. And when it comes to prayer, if God doesn't give it to you immediately, do you just give up and say, well, I'm not going to pray about that anymore because he didn't give it to me in a month or a year or whatever. I'm just give up on it. Maturity means you know the difference between a delay and a denial. A delay is not a denial. Now, a baby doesn't understand that. No and not yet mean the same thing. But when you grow up, maturity means I learn the difference between a delay and a denial. God hasn't said no to your request, but it's going to come in his timing. Now, let me just say this. God wants to meet your deepest needs, physical, spiritual, emotional, financial, relational, all your deepest needs. And he's promised to meet those needs. But he's far more interested in your character development. You've heard me say many times, God's more interested in your character than your comfort. Because you're not taking all your clothes and china and cash to heaven. You are taking your character. In heaven, there will be no problems. This is the get ready stage. You shouldn't expect things to be perfect on this earth. Everything is broken on this planet. God wants to meet your needs, but he's more interested in growing you to become more like Christ. And one of the characteristics of Christ is patience. The Bible says patience is a fruit of the Spirit. And how do you learn patience? Waiting. Department of Motor Vehicles. Sitting in a traffic jam. Waiting in a doctor's office. In the waiting rooms of life. And you also learn patience by praying persistently, even when you don't see any results. God is testing your character. He's testing your heart. He's testing your maturity. He's testing your patience and all these different things. Those of you who are moms, do you remember how you felt the first time you let your first child cry themselves to sleep? I'm such a bad mom right now. And you could hear that baby in the other room crying. And previously, every time they cried, you were there instantly. You're there instantly. And eventually you learn you can't be there instantly every time they cry. And the first time you as a mother or as a parent, as a dad, and you let that baby cry itself to sleep. Question, was that important to that baby's development? Hello? If you think somebody's going to come wipe your nose every time you have a problem in life, you're going to be severely disappointed with life. Everybody owes me everything because I'm the center of attention. It's all about me. No, of course. Let me ask you another question. Those are your parents. Do you remember the first time you thought your child was old enough and responsible enough to leave them alone at home while you went out? And how nervous you were the first time you did that. And you left them alone. You bad parent, you. And you bad, bad parent. You left them alone. You thought, I think they're old enough to be left alone. I think their maturity is at a level. They're not going to tear the house up. They're responsible. They're not going to do something stupid. I think they're responsible enough to leave them alone. Question, was that incident, no matter how painful it was to you, important to their development and maturity? Of course it was. Of course it was. Okay, I want you to get this. When God thinks you're mature enough, he's going to let you go through a period where you feel alone and you don't feel his presence. And the question is, am I going to depend on my feelings or am I going to depend on God? It's part of your development, your spiritual growth, your building muscle. God doesn't want you living by your moods. He wants you living by your commitments and by your trust in his word. And when God thinks you're mature enough, he's going to leave you alone for a while, and it's a character test. Some of you are in it right now. Congratulations. I haven't felt God in a long time. I feel like it's a brass ceiling there. My prayers are bouncing off. When God leaves you alone, he's actually testing a couple things. Will you do the right thing without supervision, like you had to test your child? Will you keep praying when the answer isn't immediate, isn't quick, isn't instant, isn't immediate and all of a sudden there? Will you throw a temper tantrum and say, God, you're not fair, and God, you made all these promises and you're not keeping them? Let me show you an example of this. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 31. God left Hezekiah. He was a king, a very good king. God left Hezekiah on his own for a while. Whoa, to see what he would do. God wanted to test his heart. And before God answers your prayer for a breakthrough, he's going to test your heart. I'm telling you this as your friend. God is going to test your heart before the breakthrough happens. And he wants to know, are you ready to handle the blessing? We talked about that with Daniel. Before every blessing is a testing. Do you know that God once did this for an entire nation? It's called the nation of Israel. He had a blessing for them called the Promised Land, but before he let them go in the Promised Land, he wanted to test them if they were mature enough, they were ready enough, they were responsible enough, they were committed enough to handle the blessing of the Promised Land. And so he kept them out in the desert, in the wilderness. They could have gone from Egypt to Israel in a matter of weeks or months, and it took them 40 years. What were they doing? Walking around the desert. For 40 years. It's just not that long. You can get across that in several months. Certainly shouldn't have taken a year. And it took them 40 years. Well, they're getting tested. Now, here's the cool thing about God. When God tests you, he wants you to succeed. And because he wants you to succeed, he'll let you retake the test. And in 40 years, God gave him 7 different attempts. Like you can retry for the bar exam. You can test again. And God wants you to keep retaking the test until you pass it. Now, here's what the Bible says, Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. The Lord led you through the wilderness for 40 years. Wow. Humbling and testing you. Circle testing. Humbling and testing you to prove your character. Remember I said when God is delaying an answer, he's testing your desires, he's testing your priorities, and he's testing your maturity. He wants to prove your character. And to find out whether or not you would really obey his commands. Now, let's just get real honest here. When you're in pain, when I'm in pain, and we cry out to God, either emotional pain or physical pain, or even when you're not in pain, you're just uncomfortable or you're bored. And when things aren't right in your life, what we want is we want God to remove the symptom, the painful symptom, when God wants to remove the cause. That takes a little bit more time. Let me say that again. When things are not going good in your life, you want God to just make it all happy. Put a band-aid on it, soothe it, take away the pain. Not clear up the relationship, not deepen your character, not change you. We want God to change the symptoms, change the circumstance, not change our character. We want a quick answer, and God wants to cut out the cancer. We want to feel the ease in our prayer. God wants to heal the disease, the thing that's causing that problem in your relationship, that's causing that problem in your marriage, causing that problem in your finances. We want God to just get us out of debt. God says, how about if we work on what caused you to get in it in the first place? Because if we get you out of debt and we don't work on the cause, you'll be back there in another year. We want to feel the ease. God wants to heal the disease. It's a whole different level. So here's the big question. When I'm praying for God to do a breakthrough in my life, I want to get married. I want to get a job. I want to see my dream come true. And God wants all these things. If they're a desire that he's put in your life and all these things are being met, God wants these things to be true in your life too. But the first question you have to ask yourself, am I willing to let God change me instead of changing the circumstance? That's a whole different issue. Am I willing to let God change me instead of God changing the circumstance that I don't like? This is, friend, what's called the point of surrender. And the point of surrender happens in every breakthrough prayer before the breakthrough happens. And if you don't get through this point, you're not going to get to the breakthrough. Am I willing to let God change me and my attitude and my heart and my character and grow me up and change me and make me more like Christ. Why in the world am I praying for this promotion or whatever else? This is the point of surrender. Look up here on the screen. Romans 6:13 says this. Give yourself completely to God to be used in the hands of God for His good purposes. Give yourself completely to God to be used in the hands of God for His purpose. That's the point of surrender. That's the point where you go, God, this is what I want, but really more than anything else, I want to be in the center of Your will. And if I need to change, go ahead, change me. I surrender. You know, there's an old hymn. It's called Take My Life and Let It Be, and it goes like this. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in endless praise. Let them flow in endless praise. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee. Filled with messages from Thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Your love. Take my intellect and use it. Every thought as You would choose. Use every thought as You would choose. Take my will and make it Thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart. It is Your own. It shall be Your royal throne. Take my love. My Lord, I pour at Your feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for Thee. Ever only all for Thee. Now that song starts off, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. A lot of people just want the first phrase. Take my life and let it be. That's it. Make sure I'm going to heaven, but don't change me. Take my life, Lord. I want to be in the family. I want to be saved. I want to be forgiven. Take my life and let it be. Don't work on the parts of me that need changing. God is not going to give you everything you want and leave you self-centered. God wants to first change you and then bless you with all the things you've always desired anyway. But He's more interested in your character. God is testing your desire. Do I really want this? He's testing your priorities. What's really most important in my life? He's testing your maturity. Do I know the difference between no and not yet, between delay and denial? Am I growing in character? Am I saying, God, I'm surrendering to You before the breakthrough prayer? Finally, do you know what else this does? When you're waiting, when you keep praying and praying and the answer hasn't come and you keep praying and praying and the answer hasn't come, this is a test. It is testing. Persistent praying tests my faith. And that's the most precious thing of all, your faith. And the real issue, the question here is, do I trust my feelings or my Father? I know what God has said. I hear You. I'm going to meet Your need. I will meet Your need. The answer is on its way. Do I trust my feelings? Or do I trust my Father? It is a mistake to trust your feelings. Now, in our last message, I said God will never give you, your Heavenly Father will never give you anything unhelpful or harmful. He'll never give you anything detrimental or deadly. He'll only give you what is good. God made you. He knows you better than you know you. He knows what will make you happy more than you do. He knows what you need more than you do. Why don't you trust your Father? The one who made you, you wouldn't take the next breath if it weren't for Him. And God knows what's going to make you happy. Now, you know, I mean, if you've been at Saddleback, you know what God has said about this and about purpose. This next verse is one of our most familiar verses, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know, God says, the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good and not for evil. Plans to give you a future and a hope. You're going to trust your feelings, you're going to trust your Father. He says, I have these plans. But you know what happens with plans? You have to wait on God's timing. Not all plans happen overnight. In fact, the bigger God wants to do something in your life, the longer the runway it takes to get it off the ground. When God wants to do something really big, a big breakthrough in your life, it doesn't happen boom like this. It happens when you're going down the runway and you're praying and you're trusting and you're growing in priorities and maturity and desires and in faith. And God says, I'm going to do it, but you got to do it in my timing. Galatians 6:9. Let us not get tired of doing what is right. For at the right time, circle that phrase, at the right time, at the proper time, God's timing is perfect. He's never early, He's never late. At the right time, we will, not might, we will reap a harvest of blessing if We don't get discouraged and give up. Your faith is more desirable and more important and more precious than anything God could possibly give you. Now, knowing this, that God wants you to keep praying, not because you're trying to wear him down. You don't have to convince God of your desires. He's already said, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. He's already said, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. He's already said, ask anything in my name, and it shall be done. He's already said, you have not because you ask not. He's already said, I could give you 100 scriptures. You're not trying to convince God when you keep praying for it. But in that persistence, God is changing you. He's changing your desires. He's purifying your desires. He's testing your character. He's building your faith. He's strengthening your life. He's doing all of these things for good in your life. So let me end with how God answers prayers. Four things. I don't have to explain this. It's self-explanatory. Four ways God answers prayers. I told you last week, God always answers prayer. There is no such thing as unanswered prayer. He doesn't always answer the way you like, but God always answers prayer. And he always answers prayers one of four ways. Here's what they go. Number one, when my request is not right, God says no. Because God's not going to give you something that's harmful for you, bad for you, is destructive. We've already said that. He'll only give you what's good for you. God will not give you something that's bad for you. When my request is not right, God says no. That's an answer. Number two, when I'm not right, God says, grow. Now he's saying, yep, I want to give this to you, but you're not ready to stay at home by yourself yet. You're not ready to handle the responsibility. I have a blessing that's so big, it would blow your mind and your character couldn't handle it. And when your professional life outpaces your personal life, that's called stress. And so God says, when you're not right, God says, grow. We got a little growing here to do. In character and in development and in surrender. Number three, when the timing's not right, God says slow. He says slow. It's coming, but it's not here yet. And in Habakkuk, he says, do not be discouraged if the vision isn't fulfilled overnight. Surely it will happen. It will not be overdue a single day. God says, it's coming. It's slow. We're going to take this slow until you're ready to handle it. Pacing growth. I could give you a big testimony about that one, but I don't have time for it. Number four, but when my request and the timing and my character, they're all lined up right, God says, go. Those are the four ways God always answers prayer. No, no, he says sometimes. Grow, he says sometimes. Slow, and then he says, go. So this is the reason we do what Ephesians 6:18 says, last verse. Pray all times. Pray at all times. And on every occasion, in the power of the Holy Spirit, always stay alert and be persistent in your prayers. Not because you're trying to convince God, but because of these other reasons. Be persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. I want you to circle all of those all words, okay? Pray all times, circle all. On every occasion, circle every. Always stay alert, circle always. Be persistent in your prayers for all Christians. You need to be praying for other people. God healed Job when he prayed for his friends. Everywhere. Now, what is not included in that verse? Nothing. That's why Paul says, pray without ceasing. Not three times a day. All the time. Let's bow our heads. This could be a breakthrough moment for you. As I pray this hymn again, will you make it your prayer? Say, Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Say, take my moments and my days. Let them flow in endless praise. And say, God, take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. Say, God, take my hands and let them move at the impulse of your love. Take my intellect and use every thought as you would choose. Say, God, take my will and make it thine. It shall no longer be mine. Take my heart, it is your own, and it shall be your royal throne. Say, Father, who loves me in heaven, take my love, my Lord, I pour at your feet, its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee. Ever only all for thee. Help me to never give up in the prayers you put in my heart, but to keep praying until you say no, or grow, or slow, or go.
Amen and amen. That concludes part 5 of our series with Pastor Rick Warren, Seeking God for a Breakthrough. Yesterday and last Wednesday, we specifically looked at the topic, Why Must I Keep on Praying Persistently? When our request is not right, God says no. When we're not right, God says grow. When the timing isn't right, God says slow. But when our requests and the timing and our character all line up, God says go. I hope you've been blessed by this series by Pastor Rick Warren, Seeking God for a Breakthrough. We've been covering this for a few months, and I'm actually looking for other series by Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church, because he has such a great way of dividing God's Word, helping us find points of application. He's a great storyteller and yet keeps and holds to the biblical truth. If you missed any of these programs over the past few months on Seeking God for a Breakthrough, they are archived and can be accessible anytime at greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org under the Mark and Friends tab. In part 1, we looked at the kind of prayers God answers. Part 2, prayer and fasting for a breakthrough. Part 3, how to pray a breakthrough prayer. Part 4 was talking to your Heavenly Father. And last Wednesday, yesterday, and today, we covered why must I keep on praying persistently. And we learned, why does God want us to pray persistently? So our focus and attention keeps on Him. That as we wait, it teaches us about ourselves, and it tests our desires, it tests our priorities, it tests our maturity, and it tests our faith. I hope, I pray, I trust that this series has helped you make a breakthrough with God and has also increased your prayer life. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.